LL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Good afternoon. This is Keeping the Faith. Welcome to the program. I am filling in for Steve. My name is Don Nolan. Steve is out of town visiting relatives, as so many people in this community are about this time of year. And we are here to talk about the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, which is an organization that's been around for about 23 years. And we have with us the executive director of CUSF, Gail Roast, and also we have Carol Jo Morgan, who is education coordinator associated with what we'll find out more about later is the IDEA program. Gail and Carol, thank you for coming to the program this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Well, the CUSF I was involved in some years ago. I was once on the Unit 4 School Board, and it's done a whole lot of wonderful and good things for teachers and students in both the Champaign and Urbana school districts. Gail, tell us when you came on board as executive director, how did you get involved with this organization?
Well, I first became part of the program, and it's hard to believe for me, 11 years ago. When I first came in, I was called the foundation administrator, part-time job. It was a growing organization, still is a growing organization. About 3 years ago or so, our strategic plan called for us to bump it up, to start to meet more needs of the community and of the schools. So they made, our board made the position a full-time position, became an executive director, and we went from there.
So for 20 years it was part-time?
Yes, it was. And so we decided, like I say, it was like, okay, now or never, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And let's see if we can really make an impact in our schools.
Does it have anything to do with the financial crisis? You said 3 years ago. That's roughly about when we confronted the budget shortfalls that we're all experiencing right now.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, education foundations started in earnest in the early 1980s, and it was budget crisis then.
Oh, I remember that.
So the idea of budget crisis, I'm afraid, has not gone away. Certainly, it's more critical now than it was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Right. And as we know in the state of Illinois, it is really critical that we have private support for our public schools.
And Carol, or is it Carol Jo?
Carol Jo.
Carol Jo, okay. You are the education coordinator, and you're associated with
the IDEA store,
mm-hmm. IDEA, which is an anagram for what?
Invest, Develop, Elevate, Achieve, which is, would you call it a slogan of the school?
Well, we just call it
foundation?
A tagline.
A tagline.
Yeah.
And what is the IDEA store?
It's a wonderful marketplace for reusable materials that people don't want anymore. So there's always, you know, they say one man's junk is another man's treasure. And we don't think of our donations as junk at all. They're not. They are simply things that people don't need and they want to find homes for them. Some people that bring us things have been stockpiling them for years knowing that they have a reuse. And now we're receiving all those wonderful things.
I have a sneaking suspicion that those in this community who didn't take off for Tahiti and Bali and Aspen this spring break are probably doing spring cleaning. So maybe this is a good time to talk about it. Before we get further into this, this is a call-in show. And if you're interested in talking with either Gail Roast, who is executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, or Carol Jo Morgan, the education coordinator for the IDEA store, feel free to call in at 333-9455. That's a local number. You can also call 1-800-222-9455. Well, tell us a little bit about how you were position to be interested in this organization? Gail, you were involved early on. Why did you get involved?
I got involved because of my passion for access to quality and excellence in public education. I'm not sure I knew that at the time when I got involved, but I certainly know that it was the driving force now. And back in the day when I first got started, that'd be about 2000, I had small children that were in the public schools. I saw a need.
Champaign or about
in Champaign schools. Mm-hmm. I saw a need. I had been out of the workforce for quite a while, staying at home with my children, working part-time or freelance work. And it was an opportunity that presented itself, and it fit my life, it fit my schedule, and fit my purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's really how I got involved. And then over the years, I've come to understand the incredible importance it is for long-term health and wealth of a community and of our country to have the best education for every child possible. And I think that our schools have the capability to do that, and I think it is a personal mission of mine to make sure that they do it in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Carol Jo,
mm-hmm.
How long have you been involved? From the beginning?
No, oh heavens no.
No.
I met Gail when I was looking for a partner to get this reuse marketplace out into the public. And Gail saw the value of it in a number of ways that she can tell you more about. So I've actually been involved with the Schools Foundation. It's just about a year and a couple of months, isn't it, Gail? Not very
just
long.
Just about. Well, there was quite a bit of planning that took place. Mm-hmm. And so I would say in the long run, it's been at least a couple of years. But in terms of putting this program together, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's new to me, and I had to learn from scratch about the Schools Foundation, and mm-hmm. I admire the work of the foundation.
And you've been going for 23 years. Can you go back in time and indicate how CUSF got created? What was the gleam in the eye, and who were involved in its creation?
Well, we had some very visionary leaders in both of our school districts, Unit 4 and Unit 116, back in 1988. At that time, the idea of an education foundation for K-12 was very novel. There were some grants out there for coming from the Ford administration to support education foundations. There were a couple of different philosophies in the approach. And we had a founding mother, Sandra Libman, mm-hmm. who was on the Unit 4 school board at the time, who went to Washington, D.C. to learn about how school foundations could work and how it could look in our community. Mm-hmm. And so the administrators at the time and community leaders got together and formed.
Superintendent Highland, as I remember.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Kermit Hardin, I believe, in Unit 116, mm-hmm. got together and put this together and didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out. Started out small and came up with the idea of private support providing that margin of excellence that we needed so much in our schools beyond mm-hmm. the tax dollar.
What kind of money were we talking about at the startup?
I wasn't part of it then. The Schools Foundation started with three different grants from three different organizations, from the Junior League of Champaign-Urbana, from the Champaign Rotary, and from Carl Foundation Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And those three $25,000 grants are what really started the Schools Foundation. They didn't really start a fundraising until about 1990 and giving money out until about 1990. Mm-hmm. But after that, then it became a labor of love in terms of raising private funds primarily from individuals. There have been a lot of campaigns over the years to support the foundation with corporate funding. And both districts have provided a small amount of funding over the years to help support the costs, especially of operating costs. Like I say, about 3-4 years ago, we decided as a board and as administrators that it was time to shake it up and see if we couldn't expand our capacity to really provide more services.
Well, before we get much further, I'm sure that listeners, if they're interested in this topic, would welcome a brief description of just what it is. What is it that you do? What is the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation?
An education foundation is such that Champaign-Urbana is, or Champaign Schools Foundation is, it's, we call it CUSF, exists to provide additional materials and or support for the districts and the community, parents, so on and so forth, and the children that could not be had through regular tax dollars. So initially, the Schools Foundation was created to provide teacher grants to teachers through application. So the funds were raised and then dispersed on a yearly basis via application to teachers. And primarily that was the singular focus of the Schools Foundation for the first 16, 17 years of its existence. Other schools foundations around the country, of which there are about 6,500 now, so I mean this, everyone has come to realize we have to have private support for our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Do scholarship programs. They were focused on scholarship programs, some of them strictly programs for children, some only endowments for various specific subject-oriented programs. Some schools foundations only serve one school. Some serve multi-districts. Some are regional. Some are even statewide and are quite powerful. Some served as watchdogs to the public schools that they're serving, more or less, to make sure they're doing things right, in quotes. And some serve as sole support, and they're involved. They may even have an office in the district, and the district serves as or they serve as a development office, more sort of like the college model for their school district. So they look pretty different all over the country. Ours, we have both superintendents sit on our school board. We have an advisory board that has our chair of each school board on it. We have teachers, a teacher advisory board. So we're getting input from the entire community. And then we have citizens in general serving on our operating board.
And you have board members, as I remember, too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have approximately 15, 16 board members at any given time. We used to have 25, and that was part of our—
I mean from the schools, the school boards.
Our school board member now serves on the community advisory board.
I see.
Yeah, and it meets a few times a year.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call an operating board model, and that operating board meets quite regularly to solve the day-to-day issues of running the foundation.
Mm-hmm. So we're in terms of funding, where are we now? $75,000 back in 23 years ago. Where are you now?
Well, I'm very pleased to say that just in the last 3 years through our Splash Grant program, we've put over $400,000 back into the schools just in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in overall funding—
That's over a three-year
period. Over the three-year period, correct.
Not annually.
No. Mm-hmm. No, boy, would the horizon look different if we could do that. Mm-hmm. But over the period of our existence, we've given— through disbursements of private and, we've had a few grants, but through designated and undesignated giving, we've given well over $1 million now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
for
like
what,
I say.
A three-year period or what time period?
That would be the full existence. So,
since the beginning.
Yes.
I see.
So there you go. It shows you the impact that we were able to make with our Splash Grant program and kicking this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we basically, a third of what we've given away in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also have several established endowments, or an endowment fund with several different sub-funds in it. And those things we don't touch. I mean, those are put away. And so money that we've raised is funding things in perpetuity. So we fund some of our master grant programs and our existing programs with that money.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, we've raised well over $2 million. And we manage now about 1.3 $2 million in endowment and restricted funds. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we can't touch those for our day-to-day programming and for our operating costs and so on.
But you live off of the dividends.
We try, actually. We try. That and what the community is so graciously willing to support us with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what would a typical program be that most teachers would be aware of in the schools? I assume you've talked to teachers over the years. What do they think of when they think of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation?
I think that teachers right now, certainly when we say splash grants, they know immediately that it's the school's
foundation.
That's
the one that's had the most
impact. The most impact. Mm-hmm. We've given over 900 grants in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Though that particular program was a mini grant program of $500 or less. So we've funded over 50% of all of our teaching faculty in both districts.
Really?
Yeah.
50% of teachers have received money.
They have received. So if you have a child in our public schools, the average exposure to a grant is over 8 times in the last 3 years. So that, I think, would be the first thing that most teachers would tell you. Then we have a master grant program, too, which gives a higher amount of money. And that particular grant is more elite in terms of how many are given per year. Requires more to receive it in terms of the application process. Much fewer, much fewer. And that was primarily what we were doing up until the splash grant program. So the idea between we had about 36 different private funding sources, and it was primarily families and corporate people who funded splash grants, and it had a huge impact.
Why do you call it splash grant?
Well, the whole idea was to make a splash, so it's pretty literal. We really wanted the community to see what a difference it can make. We wanted to get the attention of the teachers and of the public to see if we work together as a community, what a difference we can make in our schools. So, and have a splash. It's a kind of the harbinger of change. A lot of things change.
Just to remind our listeners, we're talking with Gail Rost. Is that pronounced that correctly?
Yes, you did. Rost, thank you.
Who is the executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation. And with us, we also have Carol Jo Morgan, who is the education coordinator of the IDEA program.
Of the IDEA
which
store.
We'll hear more about a little bit later. We're talking about the work of this organization in our two local school districts, the Champaign and the Urbana School Districts. And if you'd like to call in to talk to either Gail or Carol Jo about this topic and the work of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, you can call locally 333-9455. There's also an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. Well, before we get into the details of the various programmings. We talked a little bit about the Splash program, and we're going to talk about the IDEA program. Just a little bit of politics, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Do you encounter folks who raise the question, do foundations encourage defunding or the effort to pull away from funding of public schools? There's this movement of privatization of public schools that many people are advocating across the country. There's almost an ideal that maybe public schools are not the way to go. We need to move away from them. How do you fit into that? I mean, how do you respond to people who say that foundation funding of the sort that you do just encourages legislators in Springfield to say, well, we've got CUSF, Champaign-Urbana, schools can do just fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a tough question. I would tell you initially that what one education foundation does doesn't necessarily reflect what other education
from what you said earlier, they're very different. There's a variety of foundations.
Extremely different. Yeah, very much different in terms of how they're run and how they have the relationships that they have with their various superintendencies and administrators as well as the public. I think that the answer for us goes back to the margin of excellence. It goes back to our being intricately involved with the administrators of the districts to be aware of where our boundaries are of what's funded and what isn't funded. We, when we give a grant, check pretty thoroughly, is this something that should be part of a building budget? Mm. Is this something that is relevant to what's going on in the curriculum? Is this something that would not be possible if there weren't outside funding? At this point, we haven't seen that our funding has done anything but enhance what the districts are able to do,
mm-hmm.
especially now with the serious cutbacks that there have been.
Mm-hmm.
We do not fund salary. We do not fund basic curriculum. We don't fund textbooks. We don't fund copy machines.
And, it's primarily direct classroom contact between the teacher and student. Am I right about that?
That is correct. And we have a new program that we're going to be involved with even more closely with the districts that is going to be student support,
mm-hmm.
which will not be something that the district would be able to do. So I believe that the CUSF has been very careful to not cross that boundary to jeopardize the funding that our districts might be getting from outside sources, federal grants, state sources, and so on and so forth. That being said, we think by being involved in both districts that it's critical that we can provide to all students who are entitled to an education in our country and our community, the same level of education and experience across the board. And I'm afraid we just don't see that in the privatization model.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to, again, have an impact on our community as a whole and keep it strong and healthy, we have to have strong public schools. And so I feel personally very good about it in terms of how we spend our money.
Are there some foundations that you know of across the country? I'm sure you go to conferences where
yes.
people talk about these things,
mm-hmm.
that have really become a alternative funding for public schools?
Yes, very much so. And so there you go. It depends on how – for example, the state of California has a very complex system of education foundations that contribute a great deal of money, and the state of Florida also. And they do become an alternative funding sources. I don't know quite how we avoid that in those states because they're so well organized. So there are times when I wish the state of Illinois school foundations were better organized, but I think perhaps it's that decentralization that we have gives us the freedom, the power
right.
to do what we do.
In Illinois.
Yeah.
I hear that the governor is pushing for consolidation of lots of school districts.
Very much so.
That could impact your work and the work of other foundations.
It could. I haven't really spent time thinking about what that might mean to us. I think there's a lot of duplication of services across the state, and so I do think consolidation can you know, if it's done correctly, which, you know, you I don't have an opinion on that, but could definitely save resources, could mm-hmm. definitely save resources. It might make our job easier.
Do you ever get into the touchy issues? And Carol Jo, feel free to jump in at any point here. When issues such as the hot topic of class size,
mm-hmm.
When class sizes start going up, does the CUSF think about in their deliberations about awarding of grants or support for teachers ways to mitigate the effects of an overpopulated class, too many students in a class, for example, or a school that's too crowded, or do you ever discuss that at all?
Quite like that. We do look, and one of the questions we ask on our applications, particularly for master grants, we do look at the number of children served in that if it's a classroom project or even if it's a school-based program. We do not necessarily look at it in terms of reducing what might be considered an impact on the classroom if the class is too large. So that's really kind of out of our bailiwick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really haven't spent time thinking about
that. What about the gifted versus special ed hot topic that seems to boil up every now and then?
That always comes up. I always think of the state of Wisconsin where the gifted is part of their special ed program. Mm. But anyway, that's another whole show.
Right.
But in terms of our funding, and I think this is what keeps us out of the hot water, is that it's teacher-directed.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a teacher making an application to us and it meets the criteria, which, you know, there has to be, especially for the Master Grant program, a well-thought-out budget, an implementation plan, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It really doesn't matter to us if it's for the gifted and talented or if it's for the special ed, if it's for the K or if it's for the 12. It has to do with the impact of the program on the children that's mm-hmm. the focus of the group. Mm-hmm. I think that's kept us out of some of that hot water. We've been able to maintain a neutrality because of that.
What would last year's funding level be? What total amount of money did you disperse last year?
If you combine our designated plus, which would be our restricted giving and restricted grants, plus our splash grants, we're talking well over $100,000. Mm-hmm. Probably more like $175,000 to $200,000, mm-hmm. and primarily because of the splash grant program.
I haven't kept up with the size of the budget in Champaign Unit 4, but that's a pretty small slice.
It's a very small slice.
So you're not really going to have significant political impact on those debates that I mentioned. But if your amounts went up $2-4 million, then mm-hmm. I would imagine that could be an issue. So
it could be, and so that would maybe argue for thinking through that very, very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And
as you grow.
As we grow, absolutely. And again, determining at what point we are a separate organization. We're a 501c3, and we are not governingly, that's a word, involved with the districts. Mm-hmm. We're a separate organization. Mm-hmm. So at the same time that we want to be intrinsically involved in decision-making to a certain extent, we also maintain our separateness.
Your objective is not to influence or create policy, but rather to complement and enrich and supplement.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, there are certain organizations called the LEFs or the Education Foundations, particularly out west. Their purpose is to influence policy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those are the folks that turn out to be the sort of watchdog groups and kind of created adversarial relationships with the districts that they supported.
Mm-hmm.
There was a choice when we were first started as to whether we wanted to be an LEF or a schools foundation. And I see you laughing because you must.
I remember.
And isn't that funny? Because I learned all this on my own. There was a choice that was made, and we chose as a community to go the Schools Foundation route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, just a reminder one more time, this is a call-in show, and if you're interested in talking to our guests, Gail Rost, who is the executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, and Carol Jo Morgan, who is the education coordinator of the Idea Store, which is a new program. How old is this program? Idea Store.
We officially opened the store on September 30th of last year.
So we're going to talk about that.
We're a fledgling program of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation.
You can call in to talk with our guest about this topic. The local number is 333-9455. Or you can also call, if you're out of the local area, 1-800-222-9455. Well, you've mentioned splash grants several
mm-hmm.
times.
Yeah.
I understand that those are coming to an end and that the board is rethinking about what they want to do in the future. Can you talk to us at all about where we're going to go if there are teachers and other folks involved or parents that might be interested what you're going to be doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually have four different programs, one being the Splash Grant program, which, again, was designed to be a three-year program to make a splash. And we're just finishing up that third year of disbursements now with that this semester's money going into the buildings at this point in time. We also have the Master Grant program, which is tend to be larger grants, up to $4,000 each, which some folks still call mini grants, but we think they're pretty big. And then we've got our CU Scholars program, which is launching this spring, and that's something if we have a few minutes, I'd be happy to talk about. And then we have what we call the Idea Store, which is an earned income enterprise for the foundation. And so it takes a slightly different scope of exercise, but the foundation is paying its own way a little bit. And with all the financial difficulties that nonprofits have had, particularly human services, we thought this is a way we can generate additional dollars without mm-hmm. having to compete with some of the more vital human services. So,
excuse me, PTAs have been involved in fundraising over the years, and certainly in Champaign and Urbana, that's the case. Mm-hmm. Are you in any way in competition or complementary to what the work of PTAs?
I'm glad you brought this up because it has been a personal mission of mine to not interfere with the very important work that PTAs are doing. PTAs are working at the building level, and they're feet on the ground, and they're the folks that are really making the various schools work as well as they do, especially with parent integration. So we try very hard not to compete to the point where, you know, we don't have special kinds of sales. We don't we try to acknowledge certain dates and times when things are going on at the schools. We have what I hope is a constructive relationship with the PTAs. I believe it's true. And we don't, like I said, we really don't compete with fundraising that I believe. That being said, yes, I mean, we're another nonprofit of which there are over 600 in Champaign County mm-hmm. that has their handouts.
It is amazing how many we have here.
There are very many. And us baby boomers, we all thought we were going to change the world, and we went out mm-hmm. and started a nonprofit. So it's, you know, there'll be some consolidation of nonprofits over mm-hmm. the years, too. But, yes, we're out there fundraising, and we have a fairly aggressive annual fund, and then we also do a couple of special events a year, and we are now moving into this earned income enterprise effort. And
the Idea Store.
The Idea mm-hmm. Store, that's right. And so mm-hmm. we hope that given those things, that we will stay out of the way of the PTAs mm-hmm. because they are so critical.
There's always been an ongoing problem. Were you in PTA when you said you had
absolutely.
Kids in school?
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. I was on
Did
PTA council. And
I don't have children.
No children. There's always the issue, the overzealous parent who wanted to, wants to pour in huge amounts of resources for Buttonfield or Southside or whatever. And there have to be some restrictions on that. I don't know. Is this a place for you to insert, or does it occur to people when that issue comes up at PTA meetings? Oh, well, we do have the CUSF.
Well, actually, I mean, one of the things we have told PTAs is that if they have a fund that they want to bring to the foundation, we can definitely help them do that. Mm-hmm. We're audited every year. We're you know, professionally on the ball all the time, you know, 24/7. That's what we live for. We also, I think it's important to realize that we can affect the district across the district. It's a district-wide effort. So we can avoid some of that school-specific, some of those issues. But we also have funds or pass-through gifts that people to go to a specific school. So I don't know. We're trying to be flexible. Mm-hmm. Again, trying not to step on the toes of the PTA. There are several articles out, especially written in the mid-2000s, that accuse, actually, education foundations of being just elite PTAs. And something to be really thoughtful about. And it was something that I took to our board and we talked about. And the way to get around that, of course, is to continue to have a program that applies to every school and every child. And that way we can.
That's interesting. Some of us overzealous baby boomers get on PTAs. Some of us get on school boards. And some of us become executive directors of foundations.
That's right. We're all retiring. It's going to be a huge issue.
Well, before we go any further, we do have a number of announcements to make. That Steve asked me to include. The Interfaith Friendship Foundation is organizing a panel discussion in the next week together with the Newman Center about family and raising children, sort of intersects with what you're doing. Interfaith panel discussion series is entitled Roles of Family in the Society and Raising Children. It will feature speakers from the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim traditions. They will have a conversation on this topic with everyone who comes to this event and contributes questions, ideas, and thoughts. This is on March 30th, 2011, 7 p.m. at St. John's Catholic Newman Center in the Monsignor Swetland Assembly Room. St. John's Catholic Newman Center is located at 604 East Armory. Once again, this is an interfaith panel discussion entitled Roles of Family in the Society and Raising Children, featuring speakers from the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim traditions on Wednesday, March 30th at St. John's Catholic Newman Center. The YMCA, as many of our regular listeners know, has an ongoing Friday forum. This spring, the lecture series theme is Americans at War, a look at the impacts of U.S. military power in the 21st century. This Friday, April 1st at 12 p.m. at the YMCA, the topic will be The Girls Come Marching Home, Stories of Women on the Battlefield and Challenges They Face When They Return Home. Again, this is April 1, 12 to 1 p.m. at the YMCA Friday Forum. And the week following, on Friday, April 8th, the topic will be Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Gender Identity and Sexual Orientation Issues in the Military. There's also a Know Your University series, which is Tuesdays at 12 noon at the University YMCA at 1001 South Wright Street on the university campus. The Know Your University topic on this coming Tuesday, March 29th at 12 to 1 p.m., is The Art Theater, Keeping Classic Movie Experience Alive. This will be directed by the owner of the Art Theater, Mr. Sanford Hess. And then on Tuesday, April 5th, from 12 to 1, at the University YMCA at Latzer Hall, the 6th Annual Edible Books Festival, 2011. And I guess I should mention that the Art Theater is the location of the one this coming Tuesday on March 29th, Keeping the Classic Movie Experience Alive. So if you're interested in getting involved in any of those activities, you can contact the University YMCA. All right. Well, let's go back to our topic for this afternoon. We're talking with Gail Rost, who is the Executive Director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, and Carol Jo Morgan, who is education coordinator of a new program, the Idea Store. Why don't we talk about that next? Carol Jo, what is the Idea Store?
It's the creative reuse marketplace that was started as part of another nonprofit called Home Planet Incorporated, which was
Home Planet?
Home Planet. The goal was to help people learn to reduce, reuse, and recycle. And we realized that the projects were so big that we looked for someone to work with and to essentially give that project to the materials for the arts project. And Gail and I crossed paths when I was looking at the possibility of us merging with another group, and she realized that...
So you were directing that before.
I was directing Home Planet, right. Mm-hmm. And Gail saw the value of joining the two projects together because it is a way for the school's foundation to, as she says, help pay its own way. The funds that are generated through the Idea Store go to the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation. So for me, it was wonderful to have this happen because we were able to keep the environmental component of the store and keep materials out of the landfill that had value and can be repurposed both for arts and education, and to support the local schools, which, although I don't have children, I certainly value. So, Gail, do you want to add to that?
I was just going to say, too, that the average teacher spends over $500 out of her pocket every year. And
you've done a survey in Champaign-Urbana?
We have.
Is that national?
It's 532. And I mean, I have heard it's that high across the country. It's very high. And that was actually one of the reasons why we chose 500 for our Splash Grant program. But one of the things that we thought we could do, first of all, we know that teachers are extraordinarily good scroungers. And I mean, they can do anything with almost nothing. I mean, it's incredible. So one of the things that we thought we could do, especially with the store, is if we could make it easy for teachers to get their hands on materials that don't cost very much, that this would begin to start to alleviate some of the problems that of the cash out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So when Carol Jo and I got to talking about how this might be able to work and how our teachers could actually, I mean, this would be a service for our teachers, not just a luxury. That it was just a win-win situation. And so between the access to good quality materials for our teachers and then the educational component for both the teachers and our children and the community and the earned income enterprise, we really had a social enterprise, and it was a real opportunity for us. So.
And you've been operating since September, or are you just...
The very last day of September of last year was opening day for the Idea Store. And we hit the ground running, I have to say.
We sure have.
And we should point out that the store makes materials available at very low cost, which is why it's wonderful for teachers. They can come and buy things in bulk. But it's open to everybody. So families with limited budgets come in. They bring the kids. The kids love the store because there is an enormous variety of unusual and intriguing materials in there that
you've got
that
to
kids
tell
just
us
love.
You have to tell us
what
you mean.
Oh, we
gosh,
got good stories.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Gail, you go.
Okay.
You tell.
If you're going to use words intriguing.
Well, we have what we call the wall of intrigue, and that's the one of our walls. Not only do we get bulk items, both from homes and industry, we have about 8 or 9 industrial contracts.
Donations.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of one-offs, a lot of things that you're just going to have one of. You can't have a bin of. And so when we realized that, that's when we put up the wall of intrigue. And we've had everything. And a friend of mine, actually, and I didn't know she had this side to her, brought in 2 boxes of cleaned eggshell halves. And we sold them, it was not a problem. We also have had squirrel tails. Those sold right off the bat.
Clean cut eggshell halves.
Clean cut eggshell halves.
So someone...
Yeah, boxes. We had 2 boxes of them. And they get handed the box and it doesn't have any weight in it. It's like, oh, come on, there's nothing in this.
I know a lot of elementary teachers who would...
There you go,
fight
see?
For eggshell halves.
Yeah.
And artists, too.
Mm-hmm. And so, mosaics and, planting and all kinds of things. We've had, well, our regular staples are bottle caps and corks and die-cut metal and safety pins and ribbons and lace. And I mean, just things that we all have in our kitchen drawer that we know that something must be good with them. It's been coming in, so...
This is not the dollar store on steroids?
This is not the dollar store. In fact, one thing I was going to say
You're kind of anti the dollar store.
Yeah. Well, there's a dollar
don't
store.
Find half, you don't find finely cut half eggshells in the dollar
That's
store.
Right. And, you know, every store has its place. I mean, I'm sure there. I mean, the dollar store answers mm-hmm. a need. But one of the things is when we talk about being inexpensive, we do have some actually very fine and lovely things that aren't necessarily cheap. They're just going to be inexpensive compared to what you might pay for them retail. So not everything costs a quarter. I mean, we have mm-hmm. a lot of things that cost a quarter, but we have things that cost $10 too. So
we have a caller here in just a second, but sure. Before we take our caller on line one, where is this located?
28 East Springfield in Champaign.
Okay.
Yep. And everyone always wants to know where that is. It's right next to the tracks in Champaign, and it is kind of near the Fannie Mae, which is advantageous to us. And it's right
we
near
love
the
chocolate.
yeah, we have chocolate every day, and it's near the Masamigos restaurant. So
yeah. Hello, you're on Keeping the Faith. You have a question or comment for our guests?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm appreciating this program because, first of all, because you're such an excellent interviewer.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. But I'd also like to know about, well, I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm not a parent. I mean, my children are raised. What benefit is there to me to come and use the Idea Store?
Oh, my goodness. We have several things that you might appreciate. I'm the education coordinator, so of course I'm going to say we have good education programs that you might like to take part in. And we have, I can give you an example of some of the workshops that we've had, which showcase some of the store's materials and in which you can learn skills and techniques to creatively reuse with them. We've made felted flower pens and billboard vinyl bracelets and baskets. We've taught basic bookbinding and how to make cigar box shrines. There's been some creative carving in the store, and we just made paper quilts the other day. So if you're interested in something to do and a really good access to unique materials to explore your creative side, boy, have we got the place for you. It's
cigar
also a good
box shrines.
Cigar box shrines. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be religious shrines. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, people
There's
make...
all kinds of shrines.
Yeah. I made a shrine to balance. I'm seeking balance in my life, so mm-hmm. my shrine was on that theme.
The other thing I was going to add is that for you, you might be interested in donating. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you know, if you are no longer teaching and if you no longer have children at home, I would bet that you might have something in that kitchen drawer we could use. We have an intake list published on our website, which is the-idea-store.org. And there might be something there that you'd be surprised we could use and you no longer need. So from that point of view, maybe we can help you clean out something. One of our unpublished slogans is, we'll do your hoarding for you. So so perhaps we could help you with some of those those things.
There's a large group of retired teachers and professors in Champaign-Urbana.
Yes.
Have you tapped into their treasures that they've got left over from their teaching careers?
They're finding us.
We have. And in fact, I'm talking to retired teachers this Friday for lunch, Thursday. So mm-hmm. we found them and they found us and they understand the power of stuff.
Right.
So
they understand that, you know, when they donate these things, they're not just getting rid of things that they don't need, but mm-hmm. the money goes back to the school's foundation. So it's going into the schools, mm-hmm. and that's
Tell
wonderful.
Us once again, where is it located?
Oh, 28 East Springfield Avenue mm-hmm. in Champaign.
Mm-hmm. And while we're at it, if someone is interested in contacting CUSF to find out about programs mm-hmm. and your mission and history, what is a website or how do they go about phone number or whatever?
We got all of the above. Our website is cuschoolsfoundation.org. and that's the letter C, the letter U, schoolsfoundation.org. And then our phone number is 217-398-2873. Mm-hmm. And our store phone number is 352-7878. Actually has the word arts in it. So we're pretty excited about that. And then the website is the hyphen or dash idea-store.org.
Mm-hmm. Back to an issue that we don't have a whole lot of time here, but before we leave this topic, the name of our program is, the subtitle is Spirituality, Ethics, and Religious Issues. In your criteria, how do you deal with teachers or others asking you for funding to deal with issues that may cross over the line in this issue of teaching religion in schools? I've always been interested in this, and also ethics in schools. We had a character education program in Unit 4 schools. I don't know if it's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. Do you fund programs related to religion or ethics at all? And have you had difficulty in having to make decisions along those lines?
Yeah, that's another interesting question. And I would say that the answer is no, we do not fund programs that have a religious component.
Even a world religions segment?
In my history, we have not been asked for that, mm-hmm. Especially if it were an academic study of world religions. And I could see that that might not generate any response in terms of, oh, we shouldn't fund that. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering in my mind here, if we funded something that had a partnership with a church or religious organization, synagogue, and I don't believe we've done that either. Now, in terms of ethics and character,
moral education.
We have funded some programs or partially, maybe equipment or something like that, for a teacher who, for example, the character counts program, that sort of thing. But it would be, in this case, a program that was already in place or an option within the district. Mm-hmm. So not something outside.
A policy decision had been made to endorse this
Correct.
Program.
And so, mm-hmm. again, we have not taken that sort of policy challenging approach.
Now, when a teacher makes a request, do uh-huh. they have to submit this to their principal? Or,
yes, they do.
Okay.
So yeah,
there's a filtering.
There is a filtering. A teacher gives their request. The principal has to sign off on it. Mm-hmm. And if there's a technology component to it to make sure that it's compatible with the district, so on and so forth, it has to mm-hmm. go through their technology department as well. And then in the end, the superintendent is aware of it and is alert to it. Mm-hmm. They don't have final say on what's funded, of course, but they're certainly aware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many children would you estimate that you've benefited over the years? Have you kept tabs?
Well, we know there are about 13,000 kids in our district at any given time. Mm-hmm. And we've
almost 9,000 Champaign and...
Yeah, right. 4,500
mm-hmm, Urbana.
With Urbana. Mm-hmm. It's about a third, two-thirds ratio. And we know that we've been funding now for 21 years. So when we think of it that way, we know we have funded thousands of children and many children more than once, mm-hmm. if you think in terms of the impact that a teacher has on 25 kids. So by funding one teacher, we're really extending the opportunity for all those kids.
Do you find that some schools or some teachers tend to get more of the share because of the imagination or virtue or of the applications? How do you handle repeated requests?
We absolutely have teachers who know how to apply for grants and very savvy. I should say, too, that that was one reason why we did the Splash Grant program, because it was a simpler process to mm-hmm. apply. So maybe not intimidating for those who've never written a grant. But we also have funded teachers multiple times. We have several teachers who, if it's a great idea and it's well thought through, and they can demonstrate that there's an impact. Yeah. And so in the end, if it's the same teacher
again. So it's the criteria,
again,
not who.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's always actually been a real important driver. We have not been able to fund everything that's been applied for by any means. We typically can only fund about a third of what's asked for.
That's what I was getting ready to ask.
Yeah.
What's the...
Yeah. Interesting, this year we had fewer applications than we ever have had in my history.
Really?
Yes. And this was for our Master Grant program.
Oh, why don't you describe that?
Yeah. Well, the Master Grant program is a program that... is typically more demanding up on the teacher. It requires more to apply for. They have to be more organized. They have to have a sense of what the structure and the implementation is going to be. It has to be a well thought out budget, and there has to be an implementation plan. So that's the kind of thing that it really takes a lot more effort and thought. And quite frankly, we've seen a decline in those kinds of applications since No Child Left Behind.
Hmm.
Teachers are burdened with trying to meet deadlines and cover certain materials by certain times, and it has affected our master
program.
So has
the No Child Left Behind sort of taken the oxygen out of the air for their time and energy to
Absolutely.
Make these applications?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That should be an interesting topic for you.
Yeah, that's another topic. I know we're running out of time. But the other thing is that we saw in general – a decline after that particular legislation for grants that support the arts and
right.
for creative activities in the classroom because of the pressure to produce.
Have you done any funding for testing programming or testing preparation or that sort of thing?
I believe we have. Not so much maybe on testing program as we have assessments. We have definitely mm-hmm. funded sophisticated assessment tools. And in this day and age, when all this growth and learning has to be documented, that's an important thing for the teachers to have.
Mm-hmm. And what is the CU Scholars Program, very briefly? We
have about a minute. I know we're almost out of time.
A minute and a half.
The CU Scholars Program is a program, and just quickly to tell your listeners, that if a child takes only the minimum State of Illinois graduation standards, that child will have extremely a number of options when they graduate for post-secondary experience. They won't be able to get into almost any post-secondary program. So that's Parkland College. They can get in, but they'll have to take remedial.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get into apprenticeships. They won't get into regular two-year programs or a four-year program, even the military. So what we're seeing is that we need to find a way to encourage all kids to take a more challenging curriculum and more rigorous curriculum. And so CU Scholars is going to be encouraging all children to take mm-hmm. more, to increase the level of challenge for the gifted and talented, as well as the struggling learner.
Right.
So the CU Scholars Program is going to be a program that will encourage all kids to take more.
Well, we've got only about 30 or 45 minutes of more topics and questions to discuss, but we unfortunately have run out of time. We've been talking to the executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, Carol Rost, and Carol Jo Morgan, who is the education coordinator for the Idea Store. One more time, it's located at
28 East Springfield Avenue. And the lady who called in earlier, if she's needing something to do and wants to help us, could volunteer.
Right.
We need volunteers.
Thank you for listening. This is Keeping the Faith. See you again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, Rethinking Animal Intelligence, Maybe How Memory Works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
I've been a part of WILL Book Mentor Project for the last 2 years and Read to My Son classroom for the last 2 years. Normally when I walk in, they all run to me and hug me. It's a feeling that I never had in my life. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want him to grow up and do the same thing when he has his own kids. My name is Shoni Coleman. WILL is my source for opportunities to interact with my son and other children.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL.